So you could say that that's the experience of the three lakshanas. You know, there's an insubstantiality there, there's an impermanence there, and therefore a sense of dissatisfaction. I didn't have the language for it, but that's what I think I touched on, really, all that time ago. So then I came into contact with a movement which had and has a culture of clarity. This is what things are. This is what you do. You start here, you go there, you do this, you do that, you do that. And I went, oh, good. I'm all right now. That's all right. And for 10 years, I tried to do that and got completely lost, really. It didn't work for me. And, you know, that was for my own reasons. I'm not blaming it or anyone. It's simply my needing, you know, a certain way of having things around me. And that had to break down, really. So I suppose my process of getting involved with Zen practice, which I've done for 10 years now, has been a way of undercutting, of undermining my tendency to want certainty. And this is why I think doubt as a path is important, I guess. So it's entirely subjective, it's entirely from my point of view. You know, I'm not necessarily recommending this, but I think there may be some things in it to think about today. So those three lakshanas are basic building blocks of reality, as we all know. And for me, that says there's a basic not knowing at the heart of our existence. There's a basic not knowing. We can't really know what things are. We have our sense experience, and that tells us something which we sort of trust. But, you know, you can close your eyes and touch things and they feel differently if you don't know what they look like, for example. There's all ways in which we can trick our senses. So, you know, what do we really know? And furthermore, think about when you fall out with a girlfriend or a partner or a friend. This not knowing is very, very painful. And we run about trying to say, what's the matter? What can I do? Is it okay? Trying to put it right again. So there's something in us that wants to know. There's something in us that needs that kind of certainty about, good, I'm okay now because I know where I stand in relation to person X or, you know, idea Y or path Z or whatever it is. So those basic facts of existence are very hard, I believe, for us to face up to and sit with. We struggle to sit with and face these on a daily basis. At least that's my experience anyway. And I see people around me doing that too. We hunt for meanings all the time. That's another thing I just want to mention in a minute about this search for meanings. But we struggle to sit and face these basic raw facts of reality. And I think what I did, and maybe you might consider whether you do this too, we can use our faith in the Buddha and the Three Jewels and the movement and our teachers and all the practices to feel safe. Good. That's all right then. There's something between me and that raw experience. I'm all right, I'm saved, I'm okay because I've got the right ideas. That kind of experience, that kind of feeling, okay? Even the language we use, going for refuge, might indicate we find a place of safety from these terrors, that we can use that set of ideas and beliefs to make ourselves right and other people wrong, to think we've been saved in some way. Now, I'm not saying we're doing this, I'm saying that, you know, to a certain extent that's what I've done, and I've seen how these things can happen. So I'm proposing an angle, if you like, on Dharma practice that will undercut this. I think we're always searching for ground to stand on, really. And actually, if you read, you know, the Heart Sutra, there isn't any. Not really. Not really. Maybe we need some temporarily. Temporarily is the word. But I think what we do is we try to make it more permanent than temporary. And we stand there and think, good, I've got my ground now. And usually someone else pulls it from underneath us and we go, ah, oh dear, don't do that. I was comfy and it was just right. How dare you tell me I'm bigger than I thought I was or something. And I've got to rearrange my whole being to kind of take that into account. So usually it's other people that rip this rug from under our feet that we constantly put there to save us from feeling insecure and terrified by those raw realities. So as I see it, Dharma practice, as I've come to understand it for the moment, provisionally, through Zen practice particularly, is about training our minds, my mind, to question the beliefs, the states, the experiences that I have. Because they're probably conditioned by my own responses, they're probably accidental, they certainly feed into what I think I want from my life. So for me, they need to be, you know, kept loose. We've got to avoid this thing of appropriating certainties, I think, to avoid that unease and the restlessness that sits at the heart of our experience.